me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices. Eternity has two. This world and all its pleasures could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads, and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices. Eternity.
Broadway down below. What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain. Our days on earth are eternity has two. This life has many choices. Eternity has two.
Hallelujah. This life has many choices. Eternity has two. Praise God. We wouldn't want three, would we? For those of you been watching how the world is starting to panic with this coronavirus, is it man-made or is it what God said? In the last days we shall have pestilences. Interesting how some people just take advantage of scaring others. And I'm afraid many churches don't seem to know what this is all about. They will have your average 5 loaves and 2 fishes message on Sunday and then send their people home. Instead of explaining and digging in to what the meaning of all this is that we're seeing things happening just like the Word of God predicted. As we get closer to the end, we will see these things happen. And years ago, you heard about them, but now you see them. You just turn the knob on your TV and you hear and see. The problem is, if you got a smart TV, they can see you also. So you have to be careful. So you have to be careful in your own home. They keep tabs on you. And if you got a cell phone, you are being tracked every move you make. Last week we were teaching on how God had called the people of those days in the first, before the flood, that they need to stay in line. They need to keep the laws. And by the end of the flood, by the end of the 1,000 years, they had broken basically every rule there was. They have manipulated the seed of men. They have manipulated the seed of the apple and the orange and the fruit of the fields, and everything was contaminated where God had to clean house. And for those of you who are scared that we're going to be underwater in 12 years, like Omar or these, what is it, the Council of Four and the Democrat Party, they're predicting we're going to be underwater in 12 years. So why would Obama all of a sudden buy all that real estate by the ocean? So he must know something we don't. We're all sure we're going to be underwater in 12 years. No, the Bible teaches us that that's not going to happen. The next stage the world is going to go through is cleansing by fire. Fire is going to destroy this earth. Where will we be? God has a plan for us. Are you born again by the Spirit of God? Do you have your insurance all bought and paid for? I'm telling you, if you don't, today is the day. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we were talking about last week how on earth, what happened after the flood with those who came through. We know there were giants in the land after the flood. Where did they come from? Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What are his offsprings? I want you to listen closely today, and you will notice that his offspring, the offspring that we're going to talk about, are now all of a sudden hitting the news everywhere. And we're seeing things happening in the Middle East. And who and what are in the news? So God wants us to understand, like as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. So we are now starting to see the manipulation of all sorts of plants, the hybriding. We see them hybriding animals. We also see them trying to somehow fuse the technology together with humans. They got that already. You watch what's going on, and it's unbelievable. So we are heading to that time where we're going to see these things that are prophesied in the Word, and we better not be taken by surprise. There are a lot of people on this planet. There are a lot of churches who do not teach on what to expect. So that was why there is so much fear. They have no idea what's coming. So they go about confused and wondering what to do. The Bible teaches us men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking on things that are coming. We need not to do that because we got the Word. So today, before we get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, mercy, kindness, and for your Word. You will bless us. You will open our hearts. You will make us to understand, for you said, when the time is here, the people that are there will understand. So thank you for that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 9, in verse 19, it tells us the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now listen to this. If something is added onto a scripture, you got to pay close attention. And Ham is the father of who? Canaan. Very interesting character. You may say, that's just added on. Somebody did some, or he didn't do it right. But it has a reason. God wants us to pay attention to Canaan. But these are the people that went out of the ark. And we have to understand that Shem was the forefather of Abraham. He's the forefather, the line of the Arabs and Abraham, and these types of people. But who are the people of Ham and Japheth? It is interesting when we look at the signs of the times today, when we watch what's going on in the East, in the Middle East, who these people are and who is popping to the front already. Now listen to this. We'll first get into a little bit of what happened in the days of Noah after the flood. The guy, I guess, wanted a drink of wine. Listen to this in Genesis chapter 9. And Noah became a husbandman. That means he planted a garden. He planted a vineyard and drank of the wine. And I guess that's what I would do. And I was drunken, and that's not what I would do. And he was uncovered in his tent. He was naked in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, again mentions Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers without. So instead of covering him, he went out and broadcast it to everybody. So don't do that when you ever see your old man naked. Just cover him up or whatever. Like, cover a multitude of sin, the Bible says. It says then in Genesis chapter 9, verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards, covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Shem. Cursed be Ham. Is that what he's saying? No. He's cursing his grandson. Cursed be Canaan. The servants of servants shall he be unto his brethren. I often wonder throughout my Christian life, what on earth was Noah? He must have really had a hangover. Why wouldn't he curse Ham instead of Canaan? Well, when we study, the Bible teaches us that God blessed Ham. So what God blesses, you cannot curse. Are you blessed by God? Are you all blessed by God? Then nobody can curse you. Satan can't curse you. Nobody. So here is Canaan. He was cursed. Now, why was he cursed? It's an interesting story. Something happened to the line of Canaan that caused a lot of problems in those days. And I believe will cause a lot of problems as we get closer to the end. Now let's listen to what the generations are. Now these are the Genesis chapter 10. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And on them were sons born after the flood. And the sons of Japheth were Gomer. Anybody knows Gomer is? Turkey up today. Magog, that's Russia. And then you have Midian and Jeva. And then you have Tubal, another one of those guys in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Then you have Meshach, another one of those in Ezekiel 38, 39. And Tyrus and the sons of Gomer. And Ashkeshen, and boy, they got some names. And then they got to Garma. So these guys, if you study that, you go into Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you'll see these guys. Muslim nations, most of them, right now. And we look at them, and I was wondering, what is God trying to tell us here? They are the ones that are going to come against the nation of Israel. And God will destroy them in the mountains of Israel. There's going to be a bloodbath. So here we have them all. To Garma, we have Meshach, we have Magog, we have Gomer, we have Tubal, we have all those guys sitting right here, born of the guy called Japheth. Interesting character. And then I want to show you something else. And in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 6, and the son of Ham, listen to that, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. Canaan was the little misfit that Noah cursed, right? He must have looked at Canaan and saw six fingers on his hand. You see, I believe it was Ham's wife that had the gene of the Nephilim that came through the flood to this side. And when you study Canaan and his line, you will get the picture very clear. Now listen to the line of Canaan. First of all, the line of Canaan is you have Sodom and Gomorrah. They're the ones that come from Canaan. And you have Nimrod, another one that comes from the line of Canaan. And it says in Genesis chapter 10 in verse 15, and Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. And then there comes some strange little stuff. And the Jebusite. Who's the Jebusite? They were in Jerusalem. Very interesting. How many of you have ever read the story when David, King David, chopped off the head of Goliath? Where did he take the head to? He took it to Jerusalem. Now the question is, why did he take it to Jerusalem? Because the Israelis didn't own Jerusalem when David chopped off the head of Goliath. It only got into the hands of the Israelites when David became king. So what is the head of Goliath doing at the Mount of Scoff the Skull? It's another story in itself. Very interesting. So here we are. We got the Jebusite. We got the Amorite. You know how big the Amorite was in the land of Canaan. 40 feet tall and as strong as an oak. When you go into those people's lineages, there's a guy there by the name of Og. No wonder it sounds right, Og. He had an iron bed that was about 15 feet long and about 8 feet wide or something. Huge people. The children of Israel walked into the land of Canaan and came out and said, we are but grasshoppers compared to those guys. And they brought a cluster of grapes that they had to bring carrying between two people. Hybrids. They were manipulating the seed that God had told them not to manipulate. And this is what we're seeing here. We got the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite. When you go through these, study it for a while. And you're going to see some interesting stuff happening. How God destroyed them. I know the Moabites. I don't know which nation it was, but they were huge. If it wasn't the Amorites, God sent the Moabites in and said, that was before Israel. God sent the Moabites in to possess the land of the Amorite. And how did he kill off the Amorites? They were big. You couldn't fight them. God sent hornets in there to destroy them all. And they just took over the land. How do I know? It's in the Bible. Just study it a little closer. So how about the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite? These were all hybrids. When you study where they were and what happened to them, you can clearly see that they nested in the land where God told Abraham, this is where you're going to end up. So Satan had him there before Abraham's offspring came in. And God told Joshua, here's what you have to do. You go in there and you destroy them all. Some, there was a difference. Some, they killed men, women, children, and animals. And they burned everything there was. Why? When you talk to people about that, they will say, what kind of a God is that that will kill all these people? It is because those people were not supposed to be there. They were hybrids from Satan, and they were there to be destroyed. So God would tell the Israelites, kill these people. Here, this city, let some of them live. Let the women and the children live. But the men kill everything. I'm telling you, when I studied these things years ago, I could not make head or tail out of it. Why would God deal with those people this way and then deal with those people that way? But over the years studying the Bible, I found out that those people were illegally there. They're not even full human beings. So these are the people that are in the land of Canaan. Now listen to Jude chapter 1 in verse 6. That'll give you something to think about. The book of Jude, he started writing about the common salvation, and God said, no, you're going to write about something else. Study the book of Jude, and you're going to find some very strange things written in there. There's a book called who is that guy that went to heaven? Enoch. The book of Enoch has been endorsed in that book. For those of you who really want your hair to stand on end, study the book of Enoch, and you'll see what happened alongside what's happening in the Word of God. It tells us in Jude chapter 1, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Those fallen angels who came down before the flood intermarried with human beings. God chained them up. But already the damage was done. They had got some offspring that were now going to be a curse throughout the next all the generations up to now. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after what? Strange flesh. What strange flesh? Homosexuality? Not necessarily, because homosexuals are the same flesh we are. They just got a warped mind. That's the only difference. But here it says they didn't only go into fornication, they went after strange flesh. They communicated with the demonic realm and intermarried and became one with them. And then here is what happened. And going after strange flesh, they are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The people who went into hell when Sodom and Gomorrah were burned are still there, and they're going to be there for eternity. So this is where we are now standing, and it has gone throughout the ages. These people have been scattered throughout the world. There's a lot of effort by being put there to hide the evidence. Why? Why don't they want us to see 20-foot giant skeletons? Why are they, somebody finds them, especially when you go through clippings of old newspapers. People find those huge people. Where do they stay? All of a sudden they disappear. Here's the problem. Their plan wouldn't fit in with evolution. So they have to hide the evidence that these people were here in the beginning and they're here now. And one of these days, they'll start to manifest again. Personally, I believe they're manifesting already. I have heard so many testimonies that the human beings are intermingling with the demonic realm. I'm telling you this so that you will know, so that you will not be surprised, so that you will understand when you come up against it, and you'll have an explanation for those who are naive. There are many, many churches who don't have a clue what I'm talking about here. And their churches don't know what's going on. But we're heading for the last days. Now listen to this. Daniel was told what would happen in the last days. The Bible teaches us we're going to see all these things happening. And Daniel, when God showed him, he was sick. He became sick for a couple of weeks, and he asked God, help me to understand this. In Daniel chapter 12, in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Are we starting to see what is written in the Bible? Are we starting to see it on TV? Have you lately watched whatever on TV and it's full of demonic activity? Kids' cartoons are full of the demonic, teaching your children already. They're getting them ready for those entities to appear upon this earth. The Bible teaches us in Daniel chapter 2 that they will mingle themselves with mankind in the end. And I believe it's starting to happen already. They're somehow breeding human beings and animals together. These are not imaginations of somebody. They've seen this stuff before. They know how it works, and it's coming to our part of the city. So keep your eyes open. Don't be shocked. Understand what it is. We're in the end days, and we are going to be the generation that are going to see these things. This is why I say, if you do not know Jesus, come to Jesus today. Because those entities, those people, they will be so demonic and so diabolic, and they will be so full of deception that the average person will fall for their lies and for their things, to the point the Bible teaches that if it would be possible, the very elect would be deceived. We are heading for that, and it's closing in on us. We might as well get ready by me warning you. I don't like scaring people, but there's nothing to be scared about. It's going to come anyway. We are in the arms and the hands of God. God will keep us from the evil that is coming upon this world. How will he? He's going to pour out his wrath. When these animals and these human beings and these demons all come together to fight God, God is going to take us out of here. He has to. And then he's going to pour out his wrath upon this planet. And we are going to be with God watching all of this as the human being, the animal. And the Bible does say the animal during the tribulation will be attacking the human beings and devouring them. Things are going to happen. And we need to escape that awful time. And how do you do it? Give your life to Jesus. come to know him as your Savior, there is only one antidote, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your heart be pure and holy before God. And that is only done when the blood of Jesus sets you free. So I hope this is an education for you, because you need to study it. Be familiar with the stuff that is happening and that is soon going to happen much more. I want to tell those over the internet, those preachers who are listening, who don't quite believe in the demonic realm, not far hints, it'll come to your door. So get prepared. Hallelujah.